Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hey everyone, Corey from End the Podcast Will Rock here, and this is part two of our Fair Warning Ranking live show. What we did is we polled our patrons, we polled fans on our Twitter feed, and we asked some experts to rank what they think the best tracks on Fair Warning are from 1 to 9. This is the show where we announce the results of all those different rankings. We got a great panel, including some of our patrons. Chris L. from Pot of Thunder was able to join us. Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk. And we had a heck of a lot of fun. Hopefully you listened to part one before you're joining us here in part two, because we are going to kick things off with the song that finished number four. All right, let's find out what finished number four.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, wow. Jesus. Come on.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Oh,
number four.
Boy.
So, this is love. Total points, 178. One person had it ranked first on their ballot. One person had it ranked ninth on their ballot. Its totals are ninth, one, eighth, zero. Seventh spot was three. Let me just turn this down just a smidge.
Now turn it up instead.
Oh, yeah.
Put that sixth place. Scarf on.
There you go. Yeah. Four votes for sixth, six votes for fifth, 14 votes for number four. That's where it finished on the list. Three votes for number three. One vote for second, one vote for first. So This Is Love hits the top four. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Let's
everybody's kind of nodding.
You start
got
with
myself.
We'll start with
brand
you,
new open scarf right here.
Where did Eric? Where did you land this?
Where did I have it? I had it at number four.
Number four.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We're right there.
Yep. It was released as a single, one of four singles. Did okay. As we know, there was no like huge hit
great live footage of it.
Single on the album. This is just kick-ass song. Yeah, great live footage of it from Oakland.
Yeah.
Great bass line, and listen to that solo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pristine Edward right there.
Yep. And there's that video at the prehistoric park that is now classic.
That's the worst.
With Dave's humping a huge T-Rex or whatever.
So yeah. this is the one I thought I was going to get a lot of flack for, because this was my number five.
Five?
Yeah, it was my number five, and I think only because Oh, I tried to not let...
That's fucking Dave right there.
that Dave Howell.
Yep.
I think I didn't want recency bias to come into it because we had gone over this one not that long ago.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, there was something about my top four just beat it out barely, which surprised me because I thought Dirty Movies was going to fall a little bit lower. But as I mentioned earlier, that song just kept... annoyingly so picking at me, and I was just like, I don't hate this song that much. I really, really like it, and I'm liking it more and more every time I hear it. So with all that being said, yeah, it's like, So This Is Love had to at least crack the top five because I dig it. It's got all the things that I really enjoy about Van Halen, but it not to the point to where it's my all-time like favorite on the list. So that's where it fell onto me. So for it to be number four amongst all the other votes, not surprising. I get it. I would I'm surprised I'm not being thrown daggers at so far. But Scott Haskin, how about yourself? Where did you put So This Is Love?
I also had it at number five. Being somebody who reviewed every Uriah Heep song on the Magician's podcast, Uriah Heep is huge into shuffles, a lot more the double shuffle thing. But for some reason, this just, again, it just lacked a little bit of power for me. Like I like it, but I kind of wanted, instead of like, I want like, just something a little bit, a little more driving.
A little more driving. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Especially when you consider a couple of the other tracks on this album, you know, if you want it to drive. Fair enough. Fair enough. Chris L, how about you? Where did you put So This Is Love?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, but I'm pretty sure I had the lone second place vote for this one.
That's correct. Yep.
Wow.
I feel really good about that. In fact, Mark, just want to say, I don't know if this is coincidence or what, but when you announced that this was fifth for you, both of my Bushwhackers figurines fell over on my desk right behind my phone there. So I don't know what's going on with that. Serendipity, perhaps, but, you know.
Mark's doing the Bushwhacker. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go. Number two for me, this is my favorite Van Halen single of the entire catalog.
Wow.
When I first heard this, this just grabbed me immediately. One of the best snare drum sounds in the history of rock, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Hell yeah.
The snare work is incredible. And then just that chord progression, once they ramp it up with under the pins and needles part, when it's the, sort of the bridge between the verse and the chorus, that chord progression just, you know, as Gene Simmons would say, just cracks your ribs, you know, hits you in the sternum, and just always loved it. And then of course the solo is brilliant. It's almost like a template for the Beat It solo. Kind of reminds me of what he ended up doing on the Michael Jackson tune. It just had that kind of same feel, and I don't know, I love it. So it's solid number two for me, and I feel pretty good about that.
A solid deuce for Chris L. You heard it here. So there it is.
I'll take him. I'll take any solid deuce I can get at my age. I'll take it. Believe me.
Oh man.
So this is love indeed. Scott Monroe, how would you rate this song?
I had it right here at number four. Yep. And you know, I wrote a little manifesto about that people can read. But you know, one thing I said there is, to me, this is a great example of Dave selling it and how no one else can sell it like Dave. I did say, Mark, that I think it's also an example of how we talk about Eddie can be untouchable, but also Dave can be untouchable as well. And I'm not saying Dave is always untouchable. Dave certainly has its faults, but here he is untouchable, man. He is for me the one who is just bringing it home and selling the song with his authenticity. His lyrics are amazing. It's all about Dave in the song for me, and his screams and shrieks are just top notch.
Vocally speaking, I would say no one else is going to pull this off in this song like Dave. This was a song made for his particular vocal style. So I'll concede that. Yeah, right on. Sean, how about you, man?
Number three.
Ah.
Yeah, as that trifecta of videos that were released, like those that live, I think live in Oakland footage, like this was on heavy rotation. We had a VCR. I taped all three of those songs, and Todd and I would just watch those three over and over. So this, I mean, this is for me, like after hearing 1984 and then going backwards in the catalog and discovering three live tracks from Oakland of Van Halen, it was mind-blowing, because like this stuff's even better than 84, and 84 is phenomenal. So yeah, number three for me.
In the top three for Sean McGinnity. All right, Chaz, can you beat that?
Well, you know, again, because I had Sinner's Swing at number one, this for me came in at number four. I mean, you know, honestly, this is one of my favorite songs in the entire catalog. It's there's just a few songs ahead of it that I love more. I can't believe that there's one song that has not come up yet that is on my list toward the bottom. So I'm more interested in kind of getting through the rest of them because, I mean, everything that everybody said about this song, for me, this one contains one of Roth's greatest lyrics. The grass was never greener and there's plenty around. The whole attitude, like we said, when I was on the show and we did this song, the swagger that is Roth on this song that no one else can pull this off like Dave did. This is signature Van Halen, and yeah, for me, doesn't get much better, but yeah, there are just songs that I love more.
That's fair, but it finds its place at number four, like the grand majority. Scott Everett, are you with the grain or against it on that one?
I had it number four, so I've been pretty right spot there. On with the group, so yeah, I mean, it's just a great boogie the whole time. And I think, again, any of the people that grew up on the MTV generation that recorded the three videos from the Oakland show are going to love all three of those songs. And it's no surprise that three of the four are in the top four here. So, you know, and again, Eddie's solo is fantastic. And then the drum breakdown at the end of it, of the solo, is just fantastic. It hooks me every time. So just love this song.
Good, good, good. And Corey?
I had it number three. I really love this song, and it's got a great groove. It just makes me happy. I think I was listening to the Pot of Thunder episode on Journey, Don't Stop Believing, and I was in a good mood. I'm throwing out all these free plugs for Pot of Thunder because everybody should go Pot of listen Thunder, to this.
Everybody. Dude, I just got to say that...
Chrisell, you're supposed to plug in your own show, dude.
If my show is affecting your moods to that extent, you're in big trouble. You are in deep shit, man.
Our moods, it affects our lives, Chris.
Well, exactly.
You all need to reevaluate.
I can confirm Corey is a monumental fan. I don't think an episode goes by where he doesn't mention Pot of Thunder in some way. So, I mean, it's a credit to you and your group over there.
It is a great show.
But,
Well,
thank it is. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Yep.
But and nevertheless,
to it lately, it's better now than ever. But number three for me, number three for the fans on the polls too. 90.8%. What Dreams Are Made Of. 9.2. Oh. This Dream Is Over. For some of our special guests, I know Steve and Darren from the DLR cast both had it at number four. Number five for Steve Rosen. Number six for Greg Renoff. Number five for Jeff Goebel. Kelsey had this one at number four. Number four for Greg Prado. So This Is Love is number three for Sean. We mentioned that. Todd McGinnity had this one at number five. And Johnny Bean had this one all the way down at number six. So that's
show yourself, Johnny Bean. Come out of hiding.
We just want to know. We got some explaining to do.
Johnny just interviewed Andy Summers.
Yes, what? He did. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's cool. To it today.
That's cool.
So is Andy Summers like 90 now?
80.
Now
old is that guy?
80.
I'm just saying when the police were at their apex, he was fucking older 40. Than the rest of them.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. When he joined the band, he was like 33 or something. Yeah, he's 80 years old.
Follow him on the socials. He's pretty active.
Yeah.
I emailed Johnny today. I said, props, Johnny.
Out too?
Yeah, go check out Johnny's channel. Ton of great interviews. And he had that Andy Summers one. It's phenomenal. Absolutely great stuff.
Explain your rankings in the chat, Johnny. Like, we're waiting to hear from you.
What's hey, Johnny's channel's name so we can promote it here?
Sorry, what was that, John?
Corey, I was going to ask who had.
I was going to say, what's the channel name?
Oh, geez,
Johnny. Oh, Johnny Bean TV.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny Bean TV.
Yeah, he just put the name in there on YouTube and Johnny Bean TV. Mm.
Yeah. And then, Chris, were you asking who had it number one?
For yes. If you said it, I missed it. So.
Yeah, it's actually our patron, Paralytiker, one of our very first patrons on the, at the podcast.
All right.
Yeah, had this one number one. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Wunderbar to you, Paralytiker.
That is a him, right?
Yeah, it is. That yes, is it
him.
Is.
I think they identify like as him, yeah.
Did anybody mention that Eddie's riff, too, throughout the verses? And so this is love.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the chord progression. Between the verse and the chorus. That sort of under the got me the pins and needles section.
Yep. Oh yeah,
that chord progression is just crushing, man.
Oh, playing this song, yeah, right. I mean, if there's any song where you really feel the spirit of Eddie Van Halen, it's in this one too. The pluck mm-hmm. in, and then the way it just kind of ramps right up. Yeah, yep. Love playing this one. Yeah, wish my vocalist liked singing it.
Time to announce number three. You guys ready for some Mean Street?
There we go. Oh, man.
Is it
well,
time?
Too bad. You're not going to hear it yet here either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be up there.
Oh, yes. Get this. I do not get this.
Number three. Oh, and Chaz is already shaking his head. We'll get to you, Chaz. This is Hear About It Later, voted number three on our official rankings. Total points, 207. First track to crack 200. Highest ranking was first. We had one vote for first. Our lowest ranking was eighth. And that person is on the call. They can explain themselves. So it had no votes at ninth, one vote at eighth, two votes at seventh, three votes at sixth, two votes at fifth, five votes had it at fourth, 14 votes had it at number three, five votes at number two, and one vote at number one for Hear About It Later.
One.
Well, why postpone the inevitable? Chaz, you seem so not keen about this song taking the number three spot. So,
well, I guess this one's kind of hard for me because this one always brings a big smile to my face. Number one, because everyone knows, you know, you got to jump, right? Everyone knows the coordinated line jump that they do.
Wrong song.
Some of the lyrics out of this one, too. You know, pay my bills, you know, the whole Dave's lifestyle and how he likes to live loosely. I don't know. I mean, for me, came in at seven, which was behind really what I think is, you know, eight and nine is really one song. So it was like, you know, again, just like someone said earlier, things have to hit the bottom of the list. It's still, you know, best to, you know, or the least favorite of the favorite.
Yeah. That's fair. This one was number six for me. Only because I wasn't sure exactly where to put this because I like it. I don't like it more than my, you know, obviously my top five, but I struggled like it because it could have easily hit number four for me. It could have easily, depending on the day, hit not nine, but maybe eight. But I said, no, I think that's too low because I enjoy it a little bit more, so I kind of got a compromise, and it fell at number six. I don't have a great grand explanation as to why, other than I didn't know where else to put it. To me, it didn't belong in the top five, but it didn't belong too far down the list, but still somewhere kind of in the middle. So that's why I put it at number six personally, and that's my story, and I'll stick to it. However, Scott Everett. But Cowbell. I mean, Cowbell definitely was a contributing factor. Scott Everett, how about yourself?
I actually had it at two. So I knew the top three were going to be... Nice. I knew the top three were going to kind of be mixed. But again, I think the video played a lot in. The first time I saw the video, I was just mind blown. I remember them pulling out in the later tours and did a fantastic job with that. I just love the guitar solo. The storytelling within the lyrics is great. And it can't be beat on this song. I love this song. I've always loved this song.
go. Number two. Wow. Big ranking there. We'll move on over to Scott Everett.
We just did Scott Everett.
That was me.
I meant Scott Monroe. There's so many Scotts.
Too many Scotts.
Tim. Let's go to Tim.
Three Scotts to every story.
That's right.
Well, Tim, a.k.a. Tom, voted number six, just like me, because my man. But Monroe Manifesto, please.
Yeah, man, that intro is so tranquil. It's like you're on your way to heaven when you hear Eddie playing those chords, and it just the way it progresses into just this headbanging, amazing groove. For me, it's the chorus. This is one of my top choruses. I just absolutely love hearing Mikey's harmonies on it. Yeah, it's there for me. It's amazing.
Those are some sweet harmonies. And again, tomorrow I might have a completely different opinion and it'd be like, psych, motherfuckers, this is my favorite one on the album now. Nah, I probably won't say that, but close. But good stuff, good stuff. Scott Haskin, I'm going to say this is your number seven.
You're close. It's number six, actually.
just like me.
It's not bad. It was one that I actually had a hard time placing because... again, a lot of these were first time listens through without breaks. Like when I hear the song on the show, it's broken up into chunks. So this is really the first time hearing a lot of these songs all the way through. And I found this one hard to rank, but I found just as I was going through them, I had it up a little higher and I pushed it down a couple times because I just thought the rest of the songs that I had above it were just a little bit better.
That is fair. And again, as this was my number six, I get it. Totally get it. Let's see. Sean, how about yourself?
This used to be this at one point. This was my favorite song. And only because me and Fast Fred or Rooms were side by side. And when he discovered this album and he's hearing the sound of Eddie's guitar on here. And I don't know. I'm a dumb drummer, so I'm assuming that's a flanger he's got going on there. Is that right, guys?
Yeah,
probably.
Sure.
So when Todd figured out how to play this on guitar and I could hear it playing from his room and he'd figured out how to get that sound, that dreamy sound, I would just stand outside his room and just listen going, holy fuck. It was just amazing. So for me, there's a nostalgia to this song. I ranked it fourth, but this used to be much higher on the list for me just because every time Todd would learn a Van Halen song, it was like, okay, I'm in. You know, that made it much more special for me.
All right. Well, there you are. There you are. Cool, cool stuff. Eric, how about you, man?
Well, it's funny. Scott Monroe, I think, was the one who said it sounds like, you know, heaven, that opening. And I think I'd said it once before on this show. You know, when I pass away, that's what I want to hear when I'm walking into heaven because it's so beautiful. But, you know, you think on paper, you have that opening and then you have the rest of the song. It's like, how are you going to make that work? And the transition is just perfect. And it's actually... You know, Dave, with that scream, you know, bridging the gap there, and all of a sudden it just transitioned to this just badass rocker. And what else can you say, man? I mean, that's a Van Halen deep track, that's perfection right there.
Eric thinks it's perfect, but does Chris
as a deep
L
track.
Agree?
Oh, by the way, Mark, just sorry, I think you were saying that. Chaz had the wrong song with the jumping in unison.
No, well, he was right. I was making a joke because he was saying jump a lot, and I was like, well, that's the wrong song.
Oh, I got you. Because it's jump, interesting though, because they did it there, and then they do it in the jump video. So
right, yeah,
easy. To
no,
play.
That's
right?
Just me. Yeah, me,
yeah, yeah.
Me being
that tie back.
Cheeky and annoying. Yeah, yeah. So no. He Chaz is correct. Technically, I'm just being an asshole. Chris L,
balls.
How about you?
Yeah.
This is one where I think I'm dead on with the listeners. I had it at three, I believe, Corey, if that's correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, this, it, for all the reasons mentioned before, it's like we all know that Unchained is the extreme jet plane flanger sound, but here he's got it like a lot more subtle, but it's definitely there, and it gives that lush quality to it. And I definitely prefer...
his flanger tones to his phaser tones. I think the phaser gets a little annoying to me when I hear it too much, but I can never get enough of the flanger when it's used well, which he was obviously the king of. And then those sections that bookend the solo with the "You Can Try Me at Home," just those chord progressions and stuff. It's just like there's so much going on, and it's all just so, it's such a high level. And this is quality, top quality music right here, from lyrically, musically, all of it, just primo stuff.
Primo stuff, as he says. Corey, do you agree?
It's my number two. I think this is probably my favorite deep cut in the Van Halen catalog. I'd love to hear about it later. Yeah. It did get one number one vote. That was Steve Roth, actually, from the DLR cast, voted at number one.
Oh, wow. Steve's got number one.
Yeah. I had it too. Maybe my favorite chorus on the album and one of my favorite outros on the album. I love the big rock ending on this one. Yeah. And I got to have more cowbell. The cowbell is fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. And everything about this song is great. It's probably the hookiest song. It's definitely the most fun to sing along with. It's my number two. It was only beaten out by one more iconic song, and we only got two songs left. So let's see. Right. Hear About It Later. The fans on the polls ranked it fifth. 88.8% What Dreams Are Made Of, 11.2% The Dream Is Over. So I'm a little surprised it actually ranks so low on the listener poll, because to me this is top four Van Halen easy.
Yeah.
Wonder if it has something to do with the fact that it's not like a typical Van Halen single, perhaps. Well, I don't know. You could make the argument that it kind of is.
It's a good point, although
I don't correct me if I'm wrong, this wasn't released as a single, or was it?
No, but again, it was a part of those three videos, so it kind of became a seminal kind of, like, thing, right? And, you know, again, especially that, like, the dance and, like, you know, the whole, just that whole video.
I imagine if it got a little bit more popular video wise and got into a lot more ears, that maybe it would have ranked a little bit higher for people. But I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Well, I think putting it as like a deep track is like the way to do that, right? Because it wasn't a single, but it was a part of that trio of videos. And like for the hardcore that were always watching those videos, yes, you just can't like take it away.
Hey, right on. I'm
wondering, do you know when you have the poll every week, is it usually the same number of people that vote or around? Like, how consistent is the poll?
It's close. Yeah, it's fairly close. Early on, there wasn't as many, but because for the first like 30 songs, we didn't do a poll. So at one point, I just blasted out 30 polls and said, "What do you think of this song?" So I would say it's within probably 20, 30 votes. Would you say when you remember the poll, right, Mark? Now that you're doing the polls,
I remembered it. I just remembered it a day later. No, it's there. Go vote. They're all there. I would say it really depends. I think we've stretched out the length of time in which people can vote now, so that has a big factor. But sometimes it's from between 75 to 140. Like there's no, it's like, that's why I say it's inconsistent, because sometimes it feels like nobody's voting on it, and then it feels like everybody's voting on it. So it depends on the song, I think. I found that if a lot of people aren't familiar with the track that we're discussing, they're not going to vote. Or if they're not familiar with it and it's a Sammy track, they're automatically going to say no, because it's Sammy. No. And it's like, fuck off. But anyway. So it's kind of a toss up. It's kind of a toss up. Speaking of toss up, I'm going to be honest with you. I had an idea. I'm still leaning towards it. I had an idea of what I think the number one song was going to be. Now I'm not so sure. Now I'm thinking like this might be a lot closer than I think. I could be just, overthinking it, but I don't know. Maybe it has to do with Corey's teasing. But I think you should just lay it on me, man. Lay it on us. What's number two?
Well, I tell you what, we have 33 ballots from patrons and special guests, and the number one and number two flip-flopped all week as I was getting ballots in.
Uh-huh.
The difference between one and two is 4 points.
Wow.
Like it was that close. And literally today, the song that finished number one kind of went ahead by 4 points. It was usually by one, and it would flip back and forth. And this has been really interesting because one was a big hit and one kicked off the album. So the only two tracks left were Unchained and Mean Street. Let's just take a poll of everybody on the call. Who thinks Unchained finished number one? Show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. So only Scott, you think Mean Street finished number one?
I only think that because that's how I voted. Let's see.
All right. Well, let's find out. The song that finished number two, ready yourself, Jeff Brewer.
If it's a slow fade, then we know what. Yes. Number two.
Wow.
There number it is. Two.
There it is, Pat.
Mean Street finishes number two with 262 points. Its highest ranking obviously was number one. 12 ballots had it first. Its lowest ranking was fifth. So there was no votes for ninth, no votes for eighth, no votes for seventh or sixth. Two votes had it fifth. One vote had it fourth. Six votes had it third. 12 votes had it second. And 12 votes had it first. Kind of a shocking upset the way things were looking.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the highest, lowest ranked song?
I believe it is, yeah. Fifth is the lowest it goes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was only, look, the last two tracks we're discussing, it could only have been those two songs. Like, honestly, if not, I would have been just so confused. But
poor Jeff. Somebody call, let's make sure, can we get the police over to his house for a wellness check? He's upset. he has been crowing about Mean Street being number one all week, and I'm sorry, buddy. It was number one for a long time, but...
Yeah, that's why I said criminal. I'm not sure.
Three was the upset for me, man. Three was big. But.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Scott, what were you asking me?
Have you not met me?
No, Scott Haskin, is it?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah, the curve. But no, that's true. That's true. I guess you could have been the X Factor. So you know what? I'm going to start with you. Where did you rank Mean Street?
I almost think this warrants a green. I actually ranked it at number two.
Whoa!
Good man. Good man.
I've had on par with everybody, and we know my number one isn't. So this is the only one I apparently got right.
This is the one. You were so wrong for the rest of the list, and then finally we get to
one you got so right, or 50% of the audience.
Yeah, solid deuce for Scott Haskin on that one, but apparently according to everybody, solid deuce. There you go. So like Tom was with you, so he's not mad. Chris L, where did you rank Mean Streets?
This is number one for me.
This is your number
absolutely.
One. Okay.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier that, you know, my personal music listening rig was an 8-track player, but this is the first album that I bought in real time, like the day it came out, the first Van Halen album that I bought the day it came out. And I went with my buddy and I got my 8-track copy and he got his vinyl copy. And we went back to his house and listened to his copy. I'm telling you, man, just that you put that needle down and on a fresh slab of vinyl, you don't hear a lot of pops and crackles, but you still hear them. Just those slight pops and crackles as that guitar fades in. And then that open G chord that just smashes through your sternum and then the whole band kicks in. And it's nostalgia for me, but it's also just, you know, this is like apex Van Halen. This is them just absolutely firing on all cylinders. And it just, you know, is a brilliant piece of music all the way around.
Not gonna argue against any of that. The only reason this one is my number two is because my number one just hits so hard. We'll get into that. There's really not a lot that needs to be said. So that's all I got for Mean Street. It's Mean Streets. What are you gonna do? You know, Scott Monroe, what you got?
Well, like I said, it was my number one.
Yeah,
it's not a knock against Unchained, but we have to pick one. The way I thought about it was, if someone told me you can only listen to Mean Street or Unchained, what are you going to pick? I go Mean Street. It's a force of nature. It's a journey. It's something I would just listen to on repeat. Again, nothing against Unchained. I think Unchained, for me, objectively, is perhaps the better song. If you look at more objective metrics, and I know Jeff Brewer and I got into it about this because he argues you can't really look at it objectively. All music is subjective. And I get that. But for me, there's just a gut feeling that goes with Mean Street that just it's the one for me. It's a journey that I never want to end. And with that outro there we just heard, you don't want that to end. So it's number
great
one.
Great outro. Yeah. And definitely the right call using this one as your opener, your album opener. Mean Streets is such a killer intro.
I don't know if Jeff is on with us right now, but I'll just say I think there's a brand new podcast that's kind of pushing whether you can actually do that or not. Isn't there, Corey?
I don't know how many podcasts I'm on now, Scott. It's more
all
than three.
Them.
Yeah, I'm
You're
on
all doomed.
I'm planning more as we're talking here tonight, but we are working on something like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking that the Ultimate Catalog kind of does that, where you're really ranking songs by a specific criteria.
Yes.
I mean, there's always the subjective factor, what makes you smile and what doesn't make you smile, but or what makes you smile in this moment and what doesn't 10 minutes from now, as Mark has said. But I think you're finding a way to kind of actually really take music and look at it subjectively and score it, but there's always going to be some element of either nostalgia or in that moment, this is how I'm feeling, or I just listened to Chris L on this podcast and now I want to kick a cat or whatever it's going to be. just depending if it's a Striper nice. Song, you know.
We at and the podcast will rock. Don't kicking cats
no. Or Striper. We don't condone Striper either.
No, we don't.
I mean,
don't.
Like Northern.
We do condone kicking Striper. If you want to kick Striper, go ahead.
But I think
we condone edible.
Like the most reasonable way to actually break down a song or a group of songs and try and find a way of finding some kind of commonality or difference in them on a more statistical level.
Kick cats above, or a kick Striper above cats. Don't kick cats. We're not
kick them square in the crotch.
If you want to,
the only way you can sing higher.
I'm gonna have to provide ballots now for Jeff. He's gonna take it to the Supreme Court.
There you go.
The election was rigged, apparently.
Yeah, you're done for now, Sean. Where stands you on Mean Streets?
I've got a question for Eric. When we did Fair Warning on, I got to do a plug for my show because I told Kevin Brown I would do this multiple times. I forgot. So when we covered Kevin? Fair Warning on the Sean Geeky Fastret podcast with Eric Senich from Booked on Rock, Eric and Todd both berated me for my voting of this song. And
oh wow!
As we were talking about the voting of this song, I wanted to change my vote. I voted this at number five, and I really regret voting it at number five. And I'm really, really sorry to everybody.
Wow. I hate you.
All right.
Sean, you should hate me.
God damn. Well, he's
I'm a horrible
here,
human
guys.
Being.
So wait a second. Did he change his mind?
Should have sold me.
Yeah,
a lot
did
of brow
you change your
beating
mind?
Went on that day.
Well, no, I kept my vote from our episode that we did. I don't know. Was that a year ago? 2 years ago? Whatever it was.
Might have been a couple summers ago, maybe.
So you kept the same voting from that
ago.
To now?
But I kept my votes the same, but I kept the same voting.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's all
What a
Sean's
fucking
fault.
Idiot I am.
Jeff, it's all Sean's fault.
All my fault. It would have been number one, you know
I'm
what?
Gonna,
you
what?
Son
Jeff's
of a bitch.
Jeff's
going to
kill me now.
I'm going to slightly reiterate Jeff Brewer, but not, I'm not going
to
completely quote him. I will just say, like Jeff, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But that's, you know, it's fine. You know, you vote the way you vote.
If you guys want to give me some lashes, I'm okay with it.
I think the fair question to ask, Sean, do you think your votes would be different 2 years after recording that podcast?
Absolutely, they would be. Yeah. Yeah, this would be my number one, honestly. Mm. So I totally fucked up the poll. I'm sorry, guys.
You did. And now
that would have made it a tie, I think, actually. That,
I was about to say, I think you would have made it a lot more interesting. So wow. it's funny. Yeah. You see what you did, Sean? You made it less
what
interesting.
What a disclosure.
Sean is the Van Halen 3 of voters. My goodness.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
Oh. Ouch.
That is the lowest of blows.
Oh. Scott Monroe is on the call. Why are you commenting? You could have just said it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because I wanted to.
You know what? He's gonna reiterate when we get there. But until then, let's just move on. And Sean, I want you to sit there and think about what you did. Chaz, talk to us about how you feel about Mean Street.
Well, Jeff just mentioned the intro. I think I saw a video today or yesterday of Brian Adams requesting that Eddie tap out the beginning to Mean Street on an acoustic guitar. Right. So, and you can still hear it. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. You can still hear it. You know, I mean, fuck. So, I mean, yeah. So again, I voted Sinner Swing number one. This for me was number three then behind Unchained and, you know, Mean Street. I mean, like you just said, Mark, I mean, what the fuck are you going to say? This is Mean Streets. I mean, Dave's poetry in this song. So, I mean, I know you're not the biggest like Dave lyric fan, but this song, he really does nail the narrative. And it totally matched up with everything that Eddie was doing on the guitar. And just, I mean, everybody, again, another instance where every musician is bringing it, you know, I'm just like the epitome of Van Halen. This record doesn't, I mean, this for me, I mean, I guess there's no surprise here. This is probably my favorite Van Halen record, but it doesn't get better than this. It's Mean Street.
Doesn't get better except for, you know, the number one song. But Scott Everett, what say you, sir?
I had it at three behind. Hear about it later, but I mean, I love this song. Eddie's playing is fantastic. Everyone talks about how dark this album is, and Eddie's playing is dark. Dave's lyrics are dark. I wonder where Dave even came up with the lyrics for this, as he was pretty well to do, but the lyrics are so dark. Where was he pulling these stories from and all that stuff? But it just fantastic. And I think a lot of the ratings go back to, I've seen them live, you know, every year since 1984. And the first time I saw them in 84, they didn't play Mean Street. So maybe that's some of why it rates behind the number one song. But it's a fantastic song. Somebody had to come number two and this was it.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought process on it as well. Scott Haskin, where did you put this one?
Yeah, I had it at two.
You did have it too.
It was the one oddball choice of mine. And I just want to say thanks to Sean, because I thought I was the one that was going to get the most shit on this episode. So thanks for taking my spot.
Hey, no problem.
He did it just for you. So, but Eric Sinich, where could you possibly have put Mean Streets on this ranking?
I added it to a very, very, very close behind number one, too. I mean, it's the right from the opening. It's the classic. What the hell is he doing? Opening, you know, especially back in the day when you're hearing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And Dave's attitude is all over this. His delivery is what's disappointing is in recent years when Dave would do this song, he's just kind of scatting through it like he didn't have the aggression and that angst and whatever he had inside of him, it was coming out on that recording. And the ending, you wonder how long that ending went too in the studio. It'd be interesting just to hear that original recording. You know, when do they stop? Because eventually they have to fade it out. But it's just a jam at the end, man. Ed and Al, the brothers.
50 measures until they finally had it, you know, called it quits. That's 50 extra minutes.
But I mean, you can imagine.
Actually, 50 phrases. And it's like this song never ends.
Ted Templeman and Don Landy just sitting there like, keep going, man. This is fucking great. Right. 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they'll play all that. They probably could have played the whole night.
Sure. Yeah.
That's so Van Halen, though, right? Yeah. I mean, so many of their songs, some of the best jamming is in those damn outros.
Oh, yes.
God, like whole songs in those outros.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
new vote revotes. No, this isn't the 2000, this is not the 2001.
Sean might want to go back. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we've talked about Alex so many times, but just a little bit like the stop and start. The thing was like, where's he going? Whoa, where's he going?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just brilliant.
And makes me wonder how much it changed if they did like keep that going. Far beyond the fade out. I wonder if Eddie decided to change it up a little bit. Did Alex change it up? Is there like a whole new section we just never got to hear because they finally were like, okay, we're good. We got it.
That's what I was just thinking to myself. Somewhere in the vault. There, right?
By the way, what about live? What about live when they did this? Like, I'm just wondering if they extended it.
Don't know.
Yes.
No, they played it pretty straight at the end of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember how many times it was played live?
No.
I knew you were going to ask that, Corey. I can't remember
that. Got some music? Here we go.
At least according to the set list.
Mean Street.
You know what? We're not going to do it tonight. I'm just going to let you know Mean Street, they played a grand... How about 251 times?
Fuck, okay. That was close. Wow.
That includes the Sharon era, right? Yeah, well, they played it during... Wow,
it does, yep.
Sharon did great.
All the way up to 2013, they played this one, yep.
Remember Corey, Gary in the Australia show?
When they slow to play this one live.
Corey, I imagine this one fell into the same category as the majority. This is your number two?
This is my number four, but let's get back to the folks who asked.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Are you the host?
He's the guy who really likes humans being.
Okay. Hey. Shut it up. The difference between four and one is very, very minute for me. I love all four of these songs.
I ranked five and you picked four.
Yeah, I know. And how's everyone yelling at me? I ranked it higher than you did. But I love Mean Street. It's fantastic. All I can equate it to is... deep down in my gut, you know, what we love about music, right? If I'm listening to Fair Warning, what song makes me happier? And I got to say, there was three tracks that make me slightly happier than Mean Street. I love Mean Street. There's everything about it is fantastic. I don't disagree with anything anybody said. It's just if I'm looking to put on a track and just go bopping down the highway on my way to the gym or what have you, you know, I'm probably going to put on Hear About It Later or our number one song or So This Is Love. But to me, the difference between one and four is very minute. They're all fantastic.
You lost us when you said four. You lost us. We stopped listening at that point.
You know, there's people who put it lower.
I know. I was about to say no, I'm still baffled at the number five ranking. So
this is like Milli Vanilli winning Best New Artist. Man, I don't know.
Shut up about the sun.
Well, then I guess
inviting Sean on the show again.
It's we'll have him back. We'll just question him. We'll put him in the hot seat the whole time.
Yeah. I just want to go through the names that had a number one. Ryan Powell, I had a number one. Jeff Brewer, obviously, if you guys couldn't fucking guess, had a number one. Janis Risco had a number one. I want to mention Heath McCoy, a good patron of ours, had a number two, as did Brad Gould. Tyron Rombruster had a number one. Ben Andreozzi had it number two. Nate from the Deep Purple podcast had it at number three. Let's all take pitchforks and flaming torches to his house. Matt LaCasse had it number two. Josh, our good buddy Josh, who's not feeling well tonight, but he's checking things out. Hi, Josh. He had it number one. Greg Zito had it number two. Kevin Brown had it number one. And then if we go to our special guest, Johnny Bean had it at number three. Todd McGinnity had it at number one. Greg Prado had it at number one. Kelsey had it at three. Jeff Goble at number two. Greg Renoff at number two. Steve Rosen at number one. And Darren Paltrowitz at number two. And Steve Roth also at number two.
Hmm. Wow. Number three, like between three, four, and five. I don't know. I don't get it. But hey, them's the breaks, right? Well, that being said, Corey, the veil has been dropped. Our number one most voted song in Fair Warning is, of course, Unchained.
That's right. Let's take a look at the numbers here. Unchained finishes number one. Total points, 266. Only four behind Mean Street. Its highest ranking, number one on 14 ballots. Its lowest ranking was number six on only one ballot. It didn't rank 9th or 8th or 7th on anyone's ballots. Number 1 vote at 6th, no votes at 5, 2 votes at 4, 4 votes at 3, 12 votes at 2, and 14 votes at number 1. And that was really the difference. There was one more first place vote for Unchained, and that's really what kind of put it ahead. So Unchained finishes number 1.
All right. Come up in anything other than top five. Who did 6?
Now I'm gonna. Six. Which one of you did it? Which one of you did it?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Corey, which one of them did it?
I'm looking it up as we speak. Number 6.
Unchained.
Kelsey.
Scott's
Kelsey.
Away. What?
Kelsey put it at number 6.
Oh, well, okay.
What?
Well, she took the whole female empowerment piece of, that Dirty Movies, right? So she put that one ahead. That's why.
She put Dirty Movies number 1.
That's why it ended up at 6. That's it.
Kelsey, I know you're listening to the show later. Maybe you're watching it. And you have so much explaining to do.
Yes.
and we're not going to let you off the hook. We're gonna sit here and we're gonna wait.
I was giving her the out.
On the show. Nope. There will be no outs. I want to know.
She's owning that song. She's owning Dirty Movies. I think that's a lot.
Yep.
That's great.
If she had ranked it 2, 3, I might have let it go. And like, I don't agree. But all right, fine. But 6.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Yes. Lots of explanations.
Got
so
explain it to do.
Look, I'll start it off here, and this is what I'll say. Unchained.
Hey, Davey.
It's iconic. What's up, Davey? It's iconic. It's certainly in my young musical upbringing. This song was a standout. I think it's one, if not the, it's probably not the, but it's one of their heavier songs, like riff-wise. And, I'm all about the heavies, if you know anything about me. And I don't know, man, just... It's Unchained, right? Like it's kind of like Mean Streets. Like, what are you gonna say about Mean Streets that needs to be said? It's a great track. The only reason Mean Streets wasn't my number one is because it's Unchained. Unchained has to be number one. At least for my musical upbringing, it had to be number one. It's just it's so perfect of a Van Halen song. They have many, many songs that I would say that's a perfect Van Halen song. I personally think Unchained is one of them. Therefore, there was no choice. It had to be number one. This one just hits me right where it needs to hit me. So therefore, there it is. It makes for the whole album. Even though it doesn't start the album, it makes the whole album really just be a standout. And thankfully, the show and the journey with the show have really opened my eyes to Fair Warning, whereas I didn't have it. I just knew a couple of songs. Like, yeah, those are cool. Maybe I'll check out that album sometime. Thankfully, the show made me sit down and actually analyze it, and it's been great. But therefore, only by maybe a smidge, but Unchained has to take the number one spot for me. But I know it is not number one for Chris L. Chris, how do you feel, and where did you put Unchained?
All right, so this is my hot take. I had it at 4. And the sole reason for that is just kind of overexposure. I mean, okay. I've just heard it so much and just get to the point where I appreciate the deeper cuts, but I really wouldn't have it higher than three. I mean, I'm on a given day, I might bump it up over here about it later, but it would never top Mean Street or So This Is Love for me. So, I mean, it's not really, would never really leapfrog any of those, but I mean, obviously it's incredible. You got the jet plane flanger, you got the drop D tuning, which is that and Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, the first two like drop D tuned songs I can remember hearing. And I was, before I knew about alternate tunings, I was just like, man, how do they get that heavy sound, you know? And then somebody, one of my guitar teachers was just like, hey, just tune your E down to D and there you go. And it's like, oh fuck, there it is, you know. I didn't even know you had the permission by the universe to retune your guitars and stuff,
right?
You know,
exactly.
and then I learned about, you know, Keith Richards just taking one string off and retuning the whole fucking thing. And it's like, oh, that's, or Mick Ralphs. It's like, oh, that's why I can never get, can't get enough to sound the same as the record, because he's got a whole alternate tuning, you know? But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit, but a funny story about, it happened actually today related to the song. I'll try and make it quick, but, so I was out with my wife, you know, doing some stuff, and then we decided to go to grab a bite on Valparaiso, Indiana, and went into this restaurant, and they had like a classic rock, not radio, but like, you know, whatever they serve to restaurants where they just have the songs playing, there's no ads or whatever. And and this is what I'm kind of alluded to earlier, Corey, when we walked in, there was a fucking ELO song playing, which, don't ask me why we didn't walk right back out when it happened, but it is one of our favorite restaurants, so we gave it a pass. But the whole time I'm like, man, how am I going to approach the possibility of doing a podcast on a Saturday night to my wife, you know, because she, I figured she's like, would want to have something else to do. And, you know, one of those husbandly things where like, man, how am I going to get permission from my wife to do this, you know? And about three more songs into it, we're in the middle of the appetizer and Unchained comes on. And I was just like, first of all, I've never heard this in a restaurant. And second, you never even hear it on classic rock radio. It's not even on the rotation of Van Halen hits that have been driven into the ground on radio. And when I heard that, I was just like a sign from above. I'm like, you know, right there in the restaurant, I'm like, so do you mind if I go on a Van Halen podcast tonight? And she was, you know, she was fine with it. So that just was kind of funny how that happened today. But it's obviously incredible song, iconic, but for me it might jump up to three on a different day, but you know, that's probably as high as it would get for me.
Well, you know, that's a decent explanation. And you know, again, I have to remember it's like, it's all subjective, but fair enough. Scott Monroe, how about your take?
Well, I had Mean Street above it, but hey, it's great. It's classic. It is a perfect encapsulation of their core sound. It's really, when you think about Van Halen pop metal, this is the song I think of. It's just, it really speaks to everything they do so well. I continue to think that if you do look at more objective metrics, this is arguably the best Van Halen song, period. But you got to just go with your gut sometimes and what you like. So I totally understand, you know, why this is number one for so many. I do think it suffers from, what happens with so many of the hits. We just hear them, so much and, we get sick of them. So I think that probably played into some of the balloting, but it's great, man. It really, I don't see how you could possibly not have it in your top five, at least. But for me, it's number two.
Well, apparently some people don't put it in their top five, and I don't get that either, but it's fine. Sean, can you redeem yourself with this one?
Yeah, this was my number one. This is one of those songs that Fast Fret would play all the time. So there's nostalgia associated with it. The Flanger again. Watching him play it live on, like watching my brother play it live on stage. So for me, my brother was like my favorite guitar player. So if he's playing a Van Halen song, he just, for me, it elevated the song because my brother learned how to play it. But it, originally when I did my voting for it, it wasn't rated as high because of the overexposure. It kind of, I mean, my brother played it all the time to the point that I got sick of it. But looking at it again and listening to it with fresh ears, when we did our episode, it was like, I can't deny that this song has every single Van Halenism in it, and it's absolutely perfect. So I rated it number one.
As well you should, but you know, not everybody did. So Chaz, are you one of those?
No, man.
Yes, you are.
That was a joke. I voted Sinner's Swing number one, but
yes, I know.
This was number two, you know. God, I mean, that's why I was, when you were talking before, I picked up my guitar. The whole reason for the D-tuna, you know, his whole patent was to be able to just pop that, to be able to play this song real quick and get right back into things. For me, yeah, when this came out, and it was, like someone else mentioned, so heavy. The first time I heard the real heavy use of a drop D, I think the only way I had become aware of different tunings before that was like some Led Zeppelin, right? So this was really hearing it in metal for the first time for me, like even before Sabbath. And I was just blown away. And like the same thing, I could not figure out how the hell he was doing it. Was just like, where is he doing this? You know, how is he getting it so low? And quite honestly, I mean, for me, for like, God, 2 or 3 years when I was a kid, this was like, you know, every day I played this riff on my guitar. This was like, you know, wanting to feel like a king of the world and a rock star. There was no better riff. When you finally figured out that all you needed to do was twist the key and you could be Eddie Vedder, like, holy shit, this sounds incredible. And there was nothing else like it. So we used to try to write songs with it too. And that was, for me, so much fun at that point, because everything he did, it was so different. We always, and we couldn't do it like him. So it was like, okay, what can we do with it? So that's quite honestly why he was such an innovator, is because so many of us couldn't really do his thing, but we could take it and try and do our own thing with it. And that's what made me fall in love with the guitar. This was one of those songs. So yeah, if you can't tell, probably number one. Or two Van Halen song. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Scott Everett, how about you, man?
I had a number one. The first time I heard him play it live was 1984. 11 years old, saw things that I never saw before, smelled things that I'd never smelled before, and they opened the concert. And when Dave said, everybody up, everybody rose up, and they sure, that's why he's one of the greatest frontmen. Just amazing song. I have amazing memories from it. From 1984 to 2012, again, they opened that tour with it, and they dropped the curtain with Wolf on it, and the crowd went insane. Just, it's a probably my favorite concert opener of all time. And who the hell interplays with their producer during the song? I mean, only Van Halen after a solo like that. So just an amazing song. One of my all-time favorites from Van Halen.
Yeah, right on. There you go. And Scott Haskin, how about yourself, man? It's not your number one. We know that.
It's definitely not my number one. I just like to talk about Sunday afternoon some more. I had this at number four. It was okay. I think the chorus to me just kind of wears on me after a while, because it's just, you know, okay, we're going to go Unchained and just pace, pace, pace. Like, there's no real variety in it. And I'm not a big fan of talking parts in the middle of songs, so that's what kind of ruined it for me. But
come on, dude, give me a break.
But I gotta tell
well a done quick,
story along with Chris L's 8-track story. So I'd worked on a 48-hour film challenge over a weekend doing the score, and the people that I worked with were like, well, you know, we want to see the film that you worked on. So once I got the copy, I didn't think anything about what was in the content of this film. And there's this, now this is like a family friendly work environment, right? So there's people of all ages, different religions and all that sort of thing. And there's a point in the movie, it's a movie about speed dating. And there's a point in the movie where one of the guys is trying to impress the girl and he goes 10 inches. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that I just brought that into work. So I kind of replayed the rest of the movie in my head really quickly and realized that was the only part. But yeah, that was definitely one of those 8-track out of the player as quick as it can type moments for me.
No. All the 8-tracks, everybody. Let's see. Going right over to Eric Sinich himself. How about you?
It's the quintessential Van Halen song. It is absolutely the definition of Van Halen Dave era. In fact, when I got into Van Halen, it was 1984. And, I should say I was exposed to Van Halen through 1984. When I really became a fan was during the Sammy era, OU812 and When It's Love. My friends in school were like, you got to listen to 5150 and Your Dreams, Love Walks In, Why Can't This Be Love? And my older brother said, you got to hear the Dave era. And, the first time I heard Unchained, I mean, it was instant, man. It was just fucking goosebumps. That riff, just adrenaline rush. And that's when I was just pretty much, I woke up and said, okay, this is the Dave era. This is that hardcore, Dave era Van Halen. And I'm removing the, like Chris L said, and the other guys have said, it's been played a lot and they factored that in. I removed it from the equation and, the driving beat and did Dave's humor in there, the breakdown, unbelievable. And Alex during the solo, again, it's just what he's doing is just, yep. I wonder what Ed's career would have been like if he was just playing with just a straight ahead drummer who's just keeping time and that's it, because it just elevates Ed. I mean, when he's doing all that stuff, just that, dun, 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 dun,
absolutely.
It's fucking mind blowing. And yeah, it's just pure adrenaline, man.
And I can, what you were just saying, I can totally see why Al is not playing anymore. I mean, the way the two of them could anticipate each other, right? And the things that they did creatively together, just sensing where they were going to go. It was just totally feel, right? And how could you ever think you could do that again? Right.
I love in Oz Festival and in the middle of what song, they're just the two of them, right?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Ding, 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 and Alex is the big smile. You could just see how much they love playing with each other on stage, in the studio, whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
There definitely is a
very evident
between siblings. Mm. Like my brother played guitar and I was a drummer. Sean, you probably got the same thing. There's just, you know each other well enough and you know each other's playing that you just feel, you learn to write and create together and you have your styles become very similar. So
you meet at the same intersections, right? That's
exactly
it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And all right, finally, to round it all out, Corey, your vote, sir.
Unchained takes me back to when I was a young man at 15. We'd make the 30-minute drive down to Plentywood, Montana, stop at the come and go, or the ejaculate and evacuate, as we called it. This was the first song that I got some action with a young lady from Plentywood, Montana. This was playing at a come and go.
Yes. Oh, yes. Boy.
Back then, way back in the late 80s, early 90s, girls in Plentywood would do a lot for a six-pack of Canadian Plentywood beer, let me tell you. And I had plenty wood, let me tell you that. So Unchained has a very special place in my heart. But I
think it was so, called Unzipped. Yeah, maybe I'm, see that one, Corey.
Undressed.
There you go. Sometimes I wish I was back at the ejaculate and evacuate. I got some leg that night, let me tell you. But,
sure.
Unchained has always been one of my favorite songs. It's top five Van Halen for me. I love everything about it. I'm not going to apologize. Sorry, Jeff. I love Mean Street too. And I don't care if you think Mean Street's a better song. I love Unchained. I put it number one.
He said, I'm not going to apologize. And followed immediately with, I'm sorry, Jeff.
Here's another Canadian, right?
Here's another alternate title for the song based on Corey's exploits: Sack Drained.
Yes.
I think there's a Nick Pollock song come in there.
That's not my heart. It doesn't have to be. It was something else, and it was good.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Can't wait
the
for
best, the best 20 seconds of your life. Right there.
Damn right.
You weren't going to the damn coming right. for a slushy. Yeah. That wasn't for
it's
a
It's not
slurpee.
Your heart, Corey. It's your Corey heart. That's
a T-shirt,
joke.
Corey. Was it ejaculate and evaporate? Whatever the fuck.
Make a T-shirt. Evacuate. Evacuate. Evaporate is a totally different evening, Eric.
It's
I don't know how you do things
wind.
Down this
big.
Yeah.
That's a job for Kevin Brown.
Oh, boy.
By next week.
Oh my God, Kevin! Please, whenever you hear this, please make
okay.
just whatever iteration of that shirt.
Wasn't ejaculate and evaporate the title of a Star Trek episode?
Probably
one of the many times Kirk banged some.
No. That was Next Generation.
I believe that was probably a Deep Space Nine.
Oh, there you go.
If we're just yeah, there you go. Yeah, let that one sink in for a second.
Poison called their greatest hits album.
Oh my God, that's right, yeah.
But Mark, we're not the only two that put Unchained number one. Let's just kind of go through some of our favorite people here. Michael Griffith, who couldn't join us here tonight, he put it number one. Heath McCoy had it number one. Brad Gould had it number one. So did Ben Andreozzi. Matt Lacoste had it number one. Greg Zito had it number one. Let's see who else. Johnny Bean had it number two. Of course, Todd McGinnity had it number two. Greg Prado had it number two. Kelsey, of course, number six. Oh man, she's got some explaining to do. Jeff Goebel had it number one. Greg Renoff had it number one, and Steve Rosen had it number three. Darren Paltrowitz had it number one, and Steve Roth had it number three. For our fans on the polls, it was really, really close. Actually, Unchained comes in at number two, 95.6% What Dreams Are Made Of, 4.4% The Dream Is Over, whereas Mean Street was 96.7% What Dreams Are Made Of, 3.3% This Dream Is Over. So less than 1% difference. So it really close everywhere you look, except for Kelsey.
I just can't look at Corey the same way I get.
Jack, evaporate.
That's awesome.
Evacuate, not evaporate. You're talking about a very different evening, Chaz. I have stories about that, too.
We'll be hearing the Corey's.
You know, Dome had a song called podcast. Premature Evacuation, right?
I feel bad because
Chris L told that wonderful story about his wife and at the restaurant and Unchained came on and I just sullied the whole proceedings. I feel terrible.
You sullied it with your Montana adventures and if you want a full episode of Corey's evaporation explanation, then tune into the Patreon. I'm sure we can make that happen for you guys, but at a
convenience store in Montana. Holy shit!
That's right. The next song was Girl School by Brittany Fox, if you want to hear about that.
Brittany Fox
at the girls' school.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a band.
That was a band, but that is not our podcast. I'm sure Corey will do that one later because he's devouring them all, and you'll have no choice but to be a part of the CMPU if you want to continue your airwave podcasting career. But until that time, it's just us here, and that's it, man. We've wrapped it up. We've ranked it. We got Corey. You want to run down 9-1 real quick once more for the fans?
Sure. At number nine, we had One Foot Out the Door. Number eight was Sunday Afternoon in the Park. Number seven, Push Comes to Shove. Number six, Sinner Swing. Number five, Dirty Movies. Number four, So This Is Love. Number three, Hear About It Later. Number two, Mean Street. And the number one song, according to not just me, but the majority of people that we polled, was Unchained.
Unchained. There you go. That's fair warning, you guys. And I hope, if nothing else, that this episode and the previous episodes where we've discussed each track challenges you to go back and take another look at Fair Warning, or another listen, rather, kind of like I did when I was just sort of, kind of met on it. But until this show, I really sort of gave it a new perspective, and it really helped out and made this ranking difficult, but still extra fun. And I hope everyone on the panel had had good fun discussing Fair Warning. So round the board, give it up to our panelists, everybody. Chris L., please, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate you so much. Let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Podofthunder.com is the website, and new episode every Monday. We're about to venture into what we call every year September, which would be songs that exemplify the primal horniness of Tom Jones. we close each month with a Tom Jones song, but leading up to it is just not necessarily that style of music. It's just stuff that we think encapsulates the Tom Jones vibe in some way. And I highly recommend tuning in for the first episode, which is my pick. I'm pretty stoked about it. So
is Coital on that episode?
Coital will be on the final episode of the month. So
you had me at primal horniness. So yeah, everyone tune yeah, into how, that. That's
September's phenomenal. Yeah, it's their best month of shows. Yeah.
And the fact that it correlates with primal horniness with Tom Jones, it's just never thought I would hear that phrase, but it makes sense. And I can't wait to check that out. That's going to be great. Scott Monroe, man.
I was just going to ask, Chris, is there any chance of Mama Jones coming on for September?
I don't know. That would be up to those guys. I don't know how comfortable I would be discussing some of that subject matter with their mom.
That's exactly why.
But, you know, that's it's really up to them. You know, those guys are full of surprises and never know what to expect when they come walking through the door here at Montezuma Studios. So we'll see what happens.
Right on. Scott Monroe, thank you so much, man, for all of your manifestos, all the things that you do, your contributions. Please let the people know where they can find you if they want to reach out.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, at Scott D. Monroe, and I'll continue the manifestos as long as I can.
Keep them up. We enjoy reading them. So Sean McGinnity, man, always a pleasure having you on the show. Been a while since you've been on the show.
It's been too long,
So yeah, very, very much so. We'll have to have you on pretty soon. Until that time, please let the people know what you're up to and where they can find you.
The show is called the Sean Geek and Fast Ret Podcast. That's me and my brother Todd, and we talk about bullshit pretty much every week. I'm actually right after this episode, I am recording. So if anybody wants to come along, I'm doing a solo episode because my brother's out performing on stage right now as we speak. But yeah, we bullshit every week about whatever Todd feels like talking about. Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
It's Todd's show. You're just here along for the ride. I understand. That's kind of what I'm doing with Corey's whole podcasting universe. I'm just here. You know, I'm just enjoying the ride until I am devoured. Chaz Mataz, man, the chart Chaz extraordinaire. Always a pleasure, man. You always got insightful things to say. Please let the people know what you got going on and where they can find you.
Well, thanks for having me on this. This was fun. You know, honestly, the worst thing about Fair Warning was Michael Anthony's outfit in that video. right? I mean, yeah. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, you just have to go watch the video from Oakland. His outfit is the worst. But anyway, that said, right? This was just great. I'm all over Twitter these days, or X, whatever the hell you call it, doing podcast stuff. So we just wrapped up Regarding Lulu. So at Regarding Lulu, there's 11 episodes of our journey through the Lulu album out there. We're launching a new
podcast. So at Regarding Roger, which will be our walk through Roger Waters and his retake of Dark Side of the Moon. So another 11 episode mini cast, if you will. And then we're doing we're launching a weekly Rush Rash. So the Rush Rash podcast at Rush Rash podcast. We'll be starting that next month. So in the middle of September, but 167 songs, the wheel has been built and we're ready to go. So thanks for having me here, and look forward to having all of you out there. Come talk Rush.
That's going
to
be.
Hey, Chaz, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead.
You did Regarding Lulu, which was which was really, 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 really interesting. But when is the Milli Vanilli podcast?
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. One episode show.
Blame it on the rain.
They were a thing, and then they weren't. The end.
We have to find one that's already been
done. I do blame it on Lorraine.
Dude, they were ahead of their time. Come on, look at Motley Crue. I mean, you know, there's precursor here.
Yep.
Oh boy. Exactly. I'm willing to do an episode on it.
I'm there. Let's go do that right now. We'll go over to your podcast and we'll talk about frauds.
Yeah, that's okay. Come over. Come over. We're doing it right after this.
All right.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. Be on the lookout for the Milli Vanilli show by
Milli
these
Vanilli
two
Motley
schmucks.
Crue cast.
Oh, Molly and the Milli Vanilli crew. Something. That's Molly Shrews. There you go. That's
Milli Vanilli.
Mick Mars forever. Stuff. Solidarity with Mick. That's all I got to say.
I'll concede to that. Scott Everett, man, always a pleasure having you here, man. Love your takes. Please let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on.
At J. Scott Everett on all the platforms, and just thank y'all for having me tonight, and thank y'all for that are hosting podcasts, for keeping the music alive. I mean, makes my week every week getting to listen to podcasts and everyone else. So, thank you.
Well, we appreciate you listening, and thank you so much for your contributions, man. You're always a pleasure. Scott Haskin, I mean, you're all over the place, but you can still let the people know what you got. You have a lot going on right now. Let them know what you got and where they can find you.
I do. And first, I just want to say thanks for having me on, and thanks for not kicking me off after you found out what my number one pick was. And once again, I did not put sexiest podcaster on that, but I'm not going to argue it.
Well, now we know you are. So
I feel like
a
trip to the Montana border is in order now. Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, is pretty much wrapped up until they come out with another album. 398 episodes are out there on all the podcast platforms. The Haskin Cast podcast is still in transition, so there are episodes on YouTube, but all the album reviews and everything are offline for a few more days until it gets transitioned. And then for all my music and books and all the other things I'm involved in, you can go to my website, scotthaskin.com, and everything is there. You can also hear me on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with one Corey Morissette. And whatever Corey, I'm the Scotty to his Kirk.
The Scotty to his Kirk. Didn't even give himself Spock. That's
he's
how humble.
Engineer.
He's a humble Scott, this one. You know.
I don't know that claiming Scotty is humble, but that's just me. It's my opinion.
Hey, Scotty's kind of the unsung hero of the OT.
I don't know if that's a humble spot.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway,
I could also tell another story about another road trip. And Chris, you actually might be more familiar with this. I don't know if you ever went up to Jackson, Michigan to see the Cascades. But my grandparents were taking us up there for the weekend, and that was when Slide It In had come out. And I had my brother and I each had our little cassette, you know, the mini cassette players, and we were each listening to Slide It In. And I was actually on the song Slide It In, and my grandpa's like, "Hey, why don't you why don't one of you give me your tape, and we'll just all listen to the music?" I'm like, I don't think you'd like this.
Yeah, no.
That would have been a moment for sure.
I think Spit It Out would have been even worse. But,
kid friendly. It's almost a Disney soundtrack, that album.
Such, yeah. So, yeah, just the dark side of Disney that people don't like to talk about, but it's right there. Good stuff. Eric Sinich, man, you came in clutch. We knew you would. We knew a wild Eric Sinich would make an appearance because he always does, and that's what we appreciate about you.
Yeah, but, no, glad I could.
Please let the people know where they can find you.
Okay, wait. Jesus. Well, that was me. That's right. I put that there. Yeah, thanks guys for having me, man. I always love being on. It's hard to take me seriously without ejaculating. But... I'm sorry, Corey. That one's gonna last forever.
Saying Baba Booey. Like this. Gotta say Baba Booey.
That's kind of like a white snake song. Ejaculating and evaporating. Slow and easy.
Some Anvil songs. We gotta read some Anvil.
Yeah, let me remove that so we can actually finish this. Here we go. Hold on, let's remove
metal,
that.
Yeah, change it to Metal Pounder. Wasn't it Metal Pounder?
Metal Pounder.
Metal Pounders. That's right, the Metal Pounders.
I want to finish with VHND. Because I got a question for you guys.
Esteemed VHND.
Yeah, yeah.
But bookedonrock.com, the podcast is Booked on Rock. Just had Liberty DeVito, Billy Joel's longtime.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
shit. Awesome guy.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Italiano from New York.
Oh, that movie. Yeah. Hired Gun, right? Dude, that's a Jason Book movie. Great movie that Liberty was featured in prominently.
Yeah, Liberty's the man. So we just had him on. Just had Greg Prado on, too. He's got a book on the grunge rock Seattle scene. Went up.
Damn.
Yeah, what else? I had some recent episodes on, the Jive 95, which is the first underground FM rock station. It was based out of San Francisco in the late 60s, which is really cool. Howard Hessman was on the station called KMPX in San Francisco. He became Johnny Fever from KRP.
Yeah, sure.
Had that one. And coming up, I have, I'm interviewing Daniel Buckspan, who has this book out, Ozzy at 75. So I'm interviewing him Tuesday night. This is the book, man. Check this shit out.
Oh, wow.
The Oz Man. Yeah. There's Randy. Huh. So I'm going to be interviewing Daniel on that.
Nice.
What else do I have coming up? I'm just thinking, man, I've got episodes lined up for like the next, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. Martin Popoff wrote a book on Quadrophenia. We'll be on soon. I got an episode on David Bowie's Monsters album from 1980. Adam Steiner, author, wrote a book on that. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Bookedonrock.com, or you could just find the podcast anywhere. You get your favorite podcasts. But yeah, VHND.com, of course, right? And this week, with a big thing, we just left it up there the whole week, was that fucking Donington show. And I don't know if you guys talk about it yet because I joined late, but what do you guys think of this fucking thing, man? Oh. Mind blow.
Yes.
Wow.
Right?
Amazing.
Just holy grail.
And it keeps
holy
getting grail. Pulled down, of course.
You know, holy grail.
Yeah, it's pulled down again. But at this point now, everybody's, you know, who's a Van Halen fan has it, I'm sure. But man, that's holy grail. You know, and you're seeing Valerie, the two Valeries. You got Eddie's wife Valerie and Alex's then wife Valerie walking up the stairs, and you see Dave and Alex talking before the show. And what's interesting is the band's on fire, of course. But knowing now the tensions within the band, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it, but nobody's looking at Dave. Like, Dave's talking, but Alex doesn't make eye contact with him, and he's not making, even on stage, they're just so fucking done. They're burned out.
What about
that line?
What about on stage when he says, Michael Jackson ain't got shit on heavy metal, baby, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because wasn't it on the way to this where he gave Eddie the tape of his solo record?
Right. It's
on the flight over.
On the flight
on the flight over.
Yes.
Yep. This was when it was all brewing up.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And he's doing, God, you know, I'm thinking now, Chaz. Yeah, Dave's doing the fucking the moonwalk, and
Yeah. He's totally fucking with the whole show.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, and nobody's looking at Dave. I mean, at that point, they're just like, his ego is out of control. But the band, it just gives you an idea of just how fucking great that band was.
Yeah.
And what a showman Dave was. And Dave's voice sounded, I think his voice sounded great. Some of the comments I saw on the links said, I think somebody said he didn't sound good, but he sounds fucking great. And
I thought he sounded all right.
That's one of his best live recordings.
Yeah. And just the band is on fire. I'd love to see the whole thing, but just to get a pro shot footage, because we've only seen pictures of this show, you know, and you're on stage, you're iconic right there pictures. On fucking stage. Yeah. And then you get to see, their manager is there, Noel Monk. You could see him. He's the dude with the mustache, and Dave's bodyguard, Eddie Anderson, who we always would talk about. Eddie Anderson's one's like taking all the like guys and girls running on stage, trying to touch every member of the band, and they have to pull them off to the side. Just fucking madness. And that crowd is, and you know, and Dave's eating them up. He's just got them in the palm of his hand. And there's one point where I think it was it Hot for Teacher or something? And Dave is just so fired up. Like he goes to Eddie's like that. He puts his hands on Ed's head, you know, and it's classic Eddie, just like not even acknowledging. He's just jamming, you know, unbelievable. And then what's cool is Michael Anthony's playing, the keys. I mean, he's playing the keys on,
Aunt Joan.
It's just phenomenal. And there's a lot of talk about who owns it and, you know, the legal aspects of it and why it's being taken down. There's somebody who, I'm not even gonna say his name because I don't know if it's for sure, but there's somebody who claims he has ownership over it, and he's the one that's trying to pull it down. Who knows? But there's a lot more than this that's out there. And I just
probably think a studio thing, if I had to guess.
For the legacy of the band, people need to fucking see this stuff, man. The younger generation who never got a chance to see them live. This is a band that can, this is the band. Mike doesn't look great.
Yeah, he doesn't look happy.
Well, you know, they're treating Mike like shit by that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
he wasn't happy about a lot.
Whether that's true or not.
Right at this point here, man. Yeah.
There's the story of Noah Monk's book where they're all just.
Did he lose the publishing right before that show?
Yeah. Supposedly. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not.
But now they're saying that he didn't.
Yeah.
Sammy said lately he didn't.
Yeah, he lost it, but they didn't enforce it, is what I heard.
Yeah, Noah Monk wrote it in his book, but I don't know how true it is. Just leave it at that.
I just think it's all bullshit.
But there's in Noel Monk's book that there's that scene that he sets where they're all at they're eating dinner or whatever, and they're just Ed and Alan Dave were just like
just giving Mike
with
shit,
Mike sitting there. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, Mark there, and Corey, when I had on the show. It's like, why is he getting a fourth? What the fuck? He's not writing it. There's Michael Anthony just like zipping the lip, and then Dave gets up and takes a fucking plate of food and slams it down and like just stares down Michael, and then there's food all over Mike, and he just gets up, brushes it off, and walks out the room. It's like, god damn, man. Michael Anthony has I don't know how
a lot of patience, a lot of patience, and a lot of probably at that point just like he's kind of like a parent who's just sick of the children's shit, and it's like best to just like walk away from this. Otherwise, he's just gonna scream uncontrollably, and then I don't know, whatever. But
he's thinking bigger picture the whole time. Yeah, I think he just
bigger picture and grace. You know, people might say Mike just kind of bitched out for that. Like, I don't think he did. I think he held back like with tremendous restraint from the jovial drunkards and what have you, because at that point they're just out of their minds. But
I'll say this: I would say just one last thought. I think all those guys love Mike. I think they all love each other. I mean, it's just you're talking about four guys like up
in each other's
fucking faces for how many ever many years by that point. And you know, now the Dave's ego out of control because he's the biggest front man in rock, and a lot of pressure in the drugs, you know, there's drugs, there's alcohol, all that stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So they just needed a break. I wish they just took a break and then got back, but there wasn't much communication there. It was a lot of like passive aggressive stuff there. And it was like, did Dave quit? Did he get fired or what's going on? I don't think Dave really thought he was leaving for good. I think he was just going to do his thing and come back. And next thing you know, it's like Sammy's in the band and that's it.
Yep. Oh, band drama. End of an era. No band is no band can escape it. It's going to happen, especially if you're going as hard as that band was going. And yeah, as you say, no breaks. So, you know, it happens to the best of them. It happens to the worst of them, too. So, you know,
it's just a great piece of history right there.
One of the things that bothers me, about when people talk about, like, you know, and you know, with the songwriting, and, you know, it was all Eddie and it was all Dave and Mike didn't do anything and Al didn't do anything. I'm sorry. Who wrote Al's drum parts? You know, I mean, why do people say Al did not contribute to the songwriting? Right. Al's parts were intricate. I mean, they were intricate and integral to the whole thing. Yeah. I can get that Mike maybe didn't, but certainly
Let's go to Chris next.
Let me answer that question real quick. Is like everybody knows that songwriting is lyrics and melody, and you don't really get that from bass or drums. So that's really where people draw the line, is that who wrote the lyrics, who wrote the melodies. I agree with you on, like, the musical performances and Mikey's background vocals being intricate to, you know, how a song comes out and how a song is remembered. But when pun intended, push comes to shove, and there's all this money and ego involved, that's how you lay down the gauntlet. It's like, did you write any lyrics? No. Did you write any melodies? No. Then you shouldn't get a songwriting credit.
Well, yeah.
Then hold on. My other thing is, I'll just, you know, it's very rare that I get any sort of inside information, but I don't know if this is the same person that Mr. VHND was referencing, but someone in our inner circle told us that he's part owner of that footage. And he says there's about 50 hours of unreleased footage that Alex wants to turn into a documentary. And he wasn't really sure how that Donington thing got leaked, but he, he definitely, y'all can put two and two together on who that is, but says he's part owner, and they, you know, went about the business of having that leaked footage taken down.
Yep. Interesting. Interesting. Well, see, but what, you know, you wish that if they just handled it with, as far as Mike's concerned, you know, why not just sit him down and say, dude, I know when we started, it was splitting it four ways, but you know what? You know, is it cool if we just give you, do you think Michael Anthony would be like, fuck you? You know, I think Michael was just like, yeah, it's cool. I get it. You know, instead of not telling him, probably like, pissed at him.
Yeah, way more easygoing, because I think he was just happy of the paid gig, and he was happy that it was consistent. And, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that, as long as I'm consistently working, staying on the road, doing the thing that I want to be doing, then, and I'm, and it's paid, I've got no complaints. So it seems like Mikey didn't have a lot of complaints based on the gig. So, you know, roll with the punches, as it were, just kind of easy going, easy go. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to try and, you know, kiss ass with these dudes just because, why should I, you know, like, I'm in the band. I don't have to kiss ass like everybody else, but I mean, maybe not, maybe there's a whole other thing. And, but that's up to Mikey to tell that side of the story. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. It's just, all up to speculation, but all of that being said,
he's a
classy
guy. Yeah.
He's a classy guy. All that being said, you guys,
those guys had
a blast. Let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah. Those guys had a blast in those years. They had a good time.
Hell yes.
They had a blast, and they, you know, they made great tunes, and that's why we're here. We're discussing one album of many, but it's the legacy of the great Van Halen. Old and new, current, whatever members aside, you know, it's all the same band. It's all the same love. And that's why we're here, to show the appreciation. And we appreciate all of you listening, all of you guys who tuned into the chat, all of our panelists here. Corey, appreciate you all the time, always. Even when you are just going to take over all the podcasting airwaves, and that'll be it. And that's just, you're just off into the sunset, devouring all the podcasts. And I will have enjoyed my run when that occurs, but it's not yet. Today is not that day. This is just one more show. We've still got 29 songs left on the wheel for the Van Halen catalog, you guys. 29. We are in the last 30 of it, so plenty of shows left to go around. Plenty of opportunities to hear the esteemed guests that we have on the show again, and other guests as well. So be on the lookout for that, you guys. Podcastwillrock.com. Find all of our shows there. You can find some merch there. Buy some merch. Buy a shirt. Be on the lookout for that, because I'm sure after today's episode, Kevin Brown is just going to have a field day. Just absolutely coming up with some crazy designs. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram, or X, whatever it's called. Podcast at Podcast Will Rock, also on Twitter, Facebook. I'm running those things now, so if there's a lack of activity, that's just because I either forget or I'm lazy. I'm sorry. Social media is just like it's whatever. But you can check out Corey and all of the podcasts he does, and everybody, all the people at the Deep Dive Podcast, and everybody who's mentioned their shows respectively. Thank you all so much for being part of this. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.